coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. We had a lot of action at Riviera, some new and some familiar faces as well on the leaderboard. A little bit of a collapse and a big winner for myself as well. Plus everything we're tuned into outside of the world of sports includes things that are outside of sports and outside of this world as well too. Plus this week's guest is pro golfer Neil Johnson. This guy has done it all and competed on pretty much every golf tour that you could think of. He's got some great stories from his time in the game. And we're finishing up with more talk on college hoops and a little bit of new segment thoughts as well too. And talk about a lack of food when we hashtag always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Active Body, and they're the makers of the Active 5 unit. We talk about it a lot. I just did it moments ago before we hopped on here. My 2 o'clock routine is a 5 to 10 minute workout with the Active 5. It tells me everything I need to do and what I need to stretch to stay in good shape, tone, and fit. It's a really easy at-home workout tool. I recommend it for everyone out there. It's used by athletes of all kinds and people who aren't athletes, just like myself and Michael as well too. So our promo code is COL for 20% off of your Active 5 unit. Check it out today at activebody.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was raining money for you on Sunday after some free golf at the Genesis Invitational out at Riviera.
All smiles.
You thought it wasn't going to happen, but Max Homa ended up bringing home the bacon for you over Tony Finau. What a week it was out there. How do you think Max Homa felt being able to be handed the trophy by his idol, Tiger Woods?
Yeah, Max bring it Homa, getting it done. Pardon the horrible play on words there, but a fantastic win for me at 58-1. Like I mentioned, we do our picks weekly on Twitter, and he's a guy that we've been following for several weeks now. He's kind of put himself on some leaderboards recently, and you mentioned it. Not only is he like an LA kid, this was literally like the tournament he went to as a little kid on top of his dad's shoulders as a toddler. So he has lifetime memories at this tournament. He was trying to get a high five from Tiger Woods for years and years at the tournament and never got one. Instead, Tiger Woods is now handing him the trophy as the Genesis Invitational champion for, I believe, his second win on tour. Great stuff. And we know Max because he's big on social, loves to make fun of people's swings on Twitter and Instagram. He's got a great personality. So a very popular win for sure.
Yeah, and I know you were freaking out a little bit during this, ended up being a two-hole playoff after Homa hit it next to a tree, and you felt that your chances were over. We thought Tony Finau was finally going to do it again, and then lipping out on the putt as well. It's just a crazy – his shot from next to the tree was an incredible save as it is, we just need to say, but – It was just a crazy, crazy week out there. There also were a lot of guys who missed the cut out here at Riviera. Of course, we had Beefy Bryson, who, you know, it doesn't matter if bomb and gouge doesn't work.
I think he hit, maybe like 3 or 4 fairways in 2 rounds, yeah. Mike. So you can do the math there. Tough day when you're playing from the rough at Riviera. So yeah, he missed the cut. And then the other one, the big one, is the missed cut streak for Rory McIlroy, which has officially come to an end. He shot like a million over par. I think he was like 7 or 8 over for the week. So surprising to see those guys go home early.
Yeah, and we got to shout out our boy Willie Mack III, of course, past guest on this podcast. We'll link that interview in the description below. But it was, you know, he had a great week, though. You could see he was still really enjoying himself. He did okay on Thursday. I just couldn't put it all together on Friday to make the cut.
Yeah, it was a 1-under on Thursday. Tough round on Friday out there. Just didn't hit enough fairways, in his words. And posted a great picture. Actually did get to meet up with Tiger on Saturday, though. They took a picture, and obviously I had to comment and say, hey, look, it's Willie Mack and some other guy posing for a picture. So it was good to see that they had a little reunion there between the two of them. And shout out to Tiger for giving that exemption out to Willie as well. I know he didn't capitalize the way he or any of us would want to with those two miscuts there at Farmers and this past weekend. But mark my words, like we've seen his story now. And we know the drive that Willie Mack has. This isn't the last time we're going to see him on the PGA Tour. So I'm looking forward to seeing more opportunities for him.
Speaking of names we don't usually see very often, let's talk about Sam Burns, who was seemingly playing a different course during the first two rounds before the cut was made. 64-66 to start out here at Riviera. Who is this kid? Why should we be paying attention to him now?
Yeah, so he's been on tour for a few years, but really, you know, when you texted me on the weekend, you're like, should I know Sam Burns? I'm like, well, no, not really. You shouldn't. The most notable thing he did was a few years ago. He actually played with Tiger at the Valspar head-to-head. They played in like a Saturday or Sunday pairing and actually out-dueled and beat Tiger that day head-to-head when he was competing for a title there. So he's had a couple quick moments like that. Hasn't won a PGA Tour event. And this was the biggest stage that he had been on by miles in his professional career. You could see that the nerves were getting a little bit of the better of him as the weekend wore on. But he did stand pretty tall overall. Not a great Sunday, but still finished in the top five. Just missed out on that opportunity on the 72nd hole. He had a chance at that playoff late. But yeah, get to know his name, and you'll definitely see him on more leaderboards. Just not his opportunity this week. One other guy I'm going to shout out who popped on the leaderboard as well, too, is Tyler McCumber, a kind of a hero effort. He actually, Mike, he slammed one of his fingers pre-tournament on a like hotel window as he was trying to close it. You know how damn those things are, those windows. You know, they can close on you pretty damn quick, and he actually slammed his finger and hurt it, but ended up getting himself into contention, made the cut, and had a good week as well. So shout out to McCumber for being a warrior this week.
I just want to call him McCucumber. I don't know why. Just the way it's spelled. I'm sure he's gotten that joke a lot of times. So I'm going to, we're going to call him McCucumber.
Shout out to his dad, Mark McCumber, who played on the PGA Tour eons ago as well, too. So the golf runs in the blood. Good to see him on the leaderboard this week.
One more shout out I know you want to talk about from the Genesis Invitational, something that I actually, you're going to have to fill me in on this one. What was going on with the Goodyear blimp this weekend?
Oh, yes. This was a TV nerd note that I know you, I, and hopefully a select few of our audience members will appreciate. A very rare feat obtained by the Goodyear blimp. As you know, there's not many blimps in the world. It's a rare feat to get blimps to do coverage of sporting events. It's not easy logistically to do it either. There was a rare double feat performed by the Goodyear blimp. They were covering Riviera in the afternoon, and then they just rolled over the Staples Center to get the overhead shot of the Lakers Saturday night primetime NBA game. I think that was a first in like years or decades that the Goodyear blimp was able to cover two things at the same time. So I knew you'd appreciate that little nugget there.
Good for that blimp. Good for them. And not in a while have there maybe also been two sporting events worth covering with the Goodyear blimp. So a return to normalcy in the terms of blimp life. So yeah, good for
LA.
Them.
I mean, it was City of Champions, like Max Homa said, the Lakers, Dodgers, and now an LA kid in Oma getting the win done. So thank you again, Max. Shout out to boosting the bank account. We love you. If you love these winning picks as much as I do, follow me at Course Life One on Twitter and at MWRANC for Mike's as well, too. You're going to have to start trailing me now, Mike. I've officially gone back to back. So I'm now putting a semi order on you, at least trailing some of my picks here. I'm heating up, as they say in NBA Jam.
We were both getting real close for the last few weeks, and I faded away here. I don't think I really had anyone come close this week, but you're just putting up points, putting up money. So, you know, like $20 is going to run out quick at this pace.
58-1, Mike. That's the biggest one in a while, I think. Biggest one since maybe Morikawa at the PGA, which is about 35-1 or something like that. So that was a nice big ticket for everyone at home who was following this past week.
That'll cover the rest of the year, probably, or close to.
Well, we're good for a while.
Let's hit around some other things going on around the world of golf. Let's talk about a past guest, Tyler Montgomery.
Yeah, man, such a close call for Taylor Montgomery at the Korn Ferry return. Their first tournament in, I think, like 4 months. It was good to see the guys back in action at the Lee Calm Coast event. Taylor didn't really look like he had a chance until late on Sunday, and all of a sudden the leader just started backpedaling like crazy, and he found himself in a playoff but wasn't able to get it done. Nonetheless, great to see our boy Taylor getting it done with another solid finish, adding to his already impressive mega season here on the Korn Ferry Tour. That was just at the beginning of COVID when we first talked to Taylor and how everything's going with him. So hopefully he gets to end the season with a tour card, the way he started himself out position-wise in 2020.
Another name we need to shout out is Aaron Olson. He announced this week that he's now the director of instruction at Monterey Peninsula. You know, I think we went to the wrong line of work, Alex, because we're just sitting in our rooms, in our homes, talking through the computers. Meanwhile, we could be, you know, in paradise teaching golf.
Yeah, this is about the moment I tell you we need to take a break so I can look at some work emails right now while we talk about Aaron Olson's lucrative new job at Monterey Peninsula. Yeah, no, what an amazing spot for him. And shout out to Aaron, who's been a great friend of ours. Remember, I met him out in Scottsdale for the Phoenix Open in 2020. God, again, that feels like ages ago, where we did some lessons and I got to interview him and everything like that. He was at the Raven Golf Club in Phoenix and had a great run there. But Monterey Peninsula, like, for anyone who isn't already Googling images of Monterey Peninsula, it is part of that wonderful series of courses out in Carmel and Monterey and the Pebble Beach area there, the 19-mile drive, just some absolutely stunning oceanside cliff golf at Monterey. As soon as I saw this, I'm thinking, how can we get out there for a trip to see our good friend? You know, it's only right that we congratulate him by actually going and visiting him out at his new place. So exciting to see that he's going to be manning the instruction there.
You know, maybe once everything blows over in another 5 to 10 years and we're allowed to actually travel again, we'll make our way out there.
Shout out to Aaron. Good stuff. Congrats on the role.
Yes. Let's hit on something, too. This past week was the 25th anniversary of Happy Gilmore, one of the most iconic and probably well-known golf films of all time. Happy's still got that swing going. Shooter has still got his short game going. Is there a sequel for these guys on the senior circuit?
Yeah, something's happening here. For some reason, Mike, I wanted to be part of the section of golf Twitter that just like united and rejoiced and embraced seeing this. Like, yes, it was great that Adam Sandler did the Happy Gilmore, did the swing, and then Shooter comes back hours later with the snide video and making the putt. I love that back and forth. But like my spidey senses started going off. I'm like, this feels all a little too contrived right now. My working theory, Mike, is not only was that an anniversary celebration, that might be the beginning. I think we're trying to drum up some sort of sequel or remake talk. I don't know how I feel about that either, Mike. Just first things first, that's my theory one of two on that. How do you feel about going back and taking another stab at Happy Gilmore all these years later?
I mean, I'd really love Hollywood to do something original for a change, because it feels like all they can do is return to old content and recycle it and redo it. And there's some things that are best left with their one-off, like Happy Gilmore, you know, and also, you know, that's a movie that I don't think could get made today either. So I'm good with it sitting where it is.
But there were some lines in there. There were some lines that make you turn your face sideways now. But nonetheless, it is a classic. And like golf movies too, Mike. A good iconic golf movies that you and I name, it's nothing that's happened in the last 5 or 10 years. That's for sure. There's nothing new on that front. So you're right. It is just them just going back to the well. It's like, oh, golf movies. What was moderately successful that people can still put up with today? Happy Gilmore. Let's try it again. You know, it reeks a little bit of that. And I hope I'm sincerely wrong and it's something great, but I feel like that's not the last we've heard of Happy and Shooter. And the part two to that theory was, which I can get more on board with, is how about we do the match, maybe four, maybe five, I don't know, maybe somewhere in the pipeline. How about we do a 2-on-2 and really actually just put celebrities in a match with Tiger and Phil, and we do Shooter and Tiger versus Happy and Phil. I think that'd be great 2-on-2, and that could definitely garner a TV audience. I'd be intrigued just for the interplay.
I mean, I would love that if we're talking the characters Shooter and Happy, not the actors, right? Because that would be fantastic. I would love to see Happy out there cursing on the course, and just his ball marker better be a cracker from his caddy too. That better be what's going on out there. So
yes,
I'm all and for then that. The other thought I'm that
just,
all
the
for
other
that.
Thought that just hit my brain is maybe Phil or Tiger can do the Happy Gilmore swing. I don't know if Tiger wants to do that with his back. Maybe Phil will. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm just dreaming right now.
Phil would, but he would. When Phil does it, he's going to talk us through the whole process and why it generates speed but not accuracy and all the different science behind it. So it's going to be a 20 minutes for him to do the swing, but he'll do it.
Everything is a lesson with Phil. That's right. Yes. Yeah. So shout out to the Happy Gilmore 25th anniversary. It was good to at least see Happy back on our social media feeds.
It was. Let's take a look at what's going on this coming weekend and where they head next after the Genesis. It's the World Golf Championships Workday Championship at the Concession. That took a while to say.
A little wordy, yeah.
Patrick Reed, the defending champion.
Yep. Brand new venue. Yeah. We don't know anything. We know nothing about this course.
They're coming for their Florida swing. So as they lead up to the Players in just a couple weeks, and need we remind everyone, the Masters is just a little bit away from there. So
getting the final notifications for the match play as well too. Just got my final volunteer newsletter. Going to pick up the uniform in a couple weeks. So we're getting to that fun season right now where we double down on our golf coverage for sure. The interest is peaking right now, and you mentioned it, they're in Florida, getting that Florida swing going. It's a double two. The other guys who don't qualify for the WGC get to play in the Puerto Rico Open as well. But the WGC, mm-hmm. in terms of our focus, is going to be interesting to see what you get on kind of a blank slate venue. You know, the just gut shot thought is just to pick DJ and close your eyes, because like there's not much to really like diagnose in terms of this course and the history. But I'm interested to see what happens this week in Bradenton, Florida as well too. Get some nice tropical Florida vibes as we start the Florida swing.
Yeah, you don't think Patrick Reed is going to repeat? You don't think that's going to happen here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's impossible. I think he's going to be bending the rules for sure. that I know we can count on. So we always got to watch him closely with the eyes of a hawk right now. But again, my picks, like I'm like red hot right now, and I want to give out all this extremely valuable information. But it is a new venue. I'll tell you this. I'm going to be looking at a couple guys who were on my card last week. I'm tailing guys for several weeks in a row right now. It seems to be working because I'm picking up on a little momentum. Successfully mm-hmm. tailed Daniel Berger to the finish. Successfully tailed Max Homa. I've been tailing Patrick Cantlay for a bit now. Haven't gotten him to the finish line yet. So there's a name we might want to look at, but my full card will be Wednesday afternoon on Twitter at Course Life One, basically just telling you who's going to win this weekend. So get excited for that.
Exactly. I'll be tailing right behind you too. And really, don't take my picks, take Alex's picks. Cause I just pull stuff out of my butt. So that's all you need to know.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Speaking of the Puerto Rico Open, did you mention this already? I was looking through the field while you were talking. There's someone on this week's guest in the Puerto Rico Open. Correct. A little connection there.
Not just anybody. Yeah. So this was, it's funny. I want to bring this up because Tony Finau, 2016 or 17 Puerto Rico Open champion. We saw he had that close call. This guy is just riddled with close calls. Sam Harrop, our past guest, made the song, "When Will Tony Finau Win Again?" Our next guest who's going to be on in a few minutes, actually Monday qualified for this Puerto Rico Open. So a little bit of connection with this week's episode and this week's tournament, but double paradise is the bottom line for golf fans. It doesn't get much better than this. If you just want to turn your brain off, if it's not great weather where you are and you want to enjoy some tropical weather and some palm trees, it's going to be a great TV viewing week for golf fans.
It is indeed. Let's, before we get to that interview, switch over to Tuned In with what we've been looking into outside of the world of sports. And for both of us, we've been escaping the planet Earth and looking at Mars because the NASA rover Perseverance touched down there this past week after going through the 7 minutes of terror. This was a pretty incredible feat. I mean, NASA goes to Mars. They've done a lot of this, but this one had we got to hear what Mars sounds like. And I think that is what's really incredible here. We've never heard what it sounds like on another planet. And it sounds exactly like you think a deserted Martian planet would sound like. Kind of creepy.
Yes, there's a coldness and emptiness and just a constant breeze. You know that little like 2-club wind when like you think you should be hitting a 7-iron and it's just like, no, that wind's just not letting up. It's going to have to be a 5 or a 6. It just sounds like that pretty much 24/7 from the brief video clip that I got. But you watched the thing unfold live. Like the 7 minutes of terror, everyone was freaking out and then they had a rejoiceful celebration when things went successfully, right?
They did. It was, you know, it's always interesting to see, you know, when we watch it, it looks like they're completely in control. But once they finally get that touchdown and they know everything's good to go, they certainly did burst into overjoyment. So really, really awesome to see that. I don't know if you saw the one of the first images that came out of the Perseverance rover. Bernie Sanders in his mittens is sitting on Mars right now. So
that's amazing that he got there as fast as he could.
I know.
I'm impressed with how fast he got there. That's really impressive. Mm. And then the climate, it just, like, to me, I looked around and saw those first photos and videos, and I was like, this just kind of looks like, you know, suburb of Scottsdale or Phoenix, Arizona right now. Very deserty. There's a lot of sand in the distance. Not quite as many cactus and not as many cacti as I saw in Arizona last year, but just something like that just kind of gave off a nice desert vibe. So, you know, hey, mm-hmm. if the climate's nice enough and, you know, there's some good people moving up there, it might be something to consider in the future, right?
Could be. It could be. We'll keep our eyes on what the rover does out there on that planet, and maybe we'll talk about it again. But for now, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, we've loved following the Monday Q Info account on Twitter. Our pal Ryan French, he's been on this podcast. And this week's guest, Neil Johnson, is a grizzled mini tour veteran who now helps out Ryan covering Monday Q's mini tours around the world, because there's just so many out there.
There is. He's got the weekly leaderboard going of like, hey, if you want to know who finished in fifth on the West Florida Golf Tour on Tuesday afternoon, Mike, he's got that answer for you. Neil's got all the answers, just kind of scouring the internet for what everyone's doing in the game. And him himself, he has an awesome story to tell about his days as a pro. He's been out there for a while, talks about his biggest career win, some fun on the road conversation, which I know you're going to appreciate, regarding hotels and food on the road. It was fun to connect with Neil and hear all about his backstory on this week's episode.
And we will get into that conversation in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know that it's brought to you by our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. The Groove It Brush makes it easy to keep your clubs clean with a built-in pump inside the brush that sprays a water cleaning solution right onto your club face. It's quick, it's efficient, and it's what you need while you're out there on the course. The average brush is also stuck to your bag. The Groove It Brush's detachable magnets make it easier to use. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. You can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back, and Groove It will get you a free replacement. Now that is reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control that clean grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groove It, you'll get the spin trajectory and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com and get your Groove It brush today. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com for your Groove It brush.
Next up on the tee from Phoenix, Arizona, by way of Wisconsin, we have a mini tour grinder who's got some serious experience and stories from the farm system of professional golf. And he's now working alongside Ryan French, a friend of the podcast who runs the Monday Q Info account on Twitter. It's Neil Johnson joining the Course of Life. Neil, how you doing today?
I'm good, Alex. Thanks for having me. I love talking golf, whether it's on any kind of platform, any kind of way.
Yeah, and you've been around the block for sure, so you got a lot of stories to share with us. But let's just start at the beginning with Wisconsin golf in general. I told you before we hopped on, I'm in a rare scenario where I'm in Austin, Texas, and we're snowed in. When I typically think of Wisconsin golf, I think of like Steve Stricker hitting balls in the middle of the winter in the snow. I'm curious, like, what was that feeling like for you growing up playing Wisconsin golf? Are you kind of Wisconsin tough and strong from your days there as a youngster?
I mean, I've been in Arizona for 12 years, so I think I'll admit that I've probably lost. My blood has been thinned out, and I've kind of lost some of that toughness. Yeah. But growing up there, it was kind of just the only thing I knew. It was, you know, we would have 4 really good months, and then on both sides of that with the spring and fall, it might be one, you know, it might be an extra couple months, or it might be 3 months, maybe, you know, so 6-7 months total. That's just all we knew. And then come after Halloween, we'd kind of put our clubs in the closet and never really think of touching them until we'd get close to like March Madness. I mean, that's kind of when like I kind of started getting excited again, like, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's getting warm. Maybe the courses are open. And then certainly by the Masters is when I would hope to be outside. My birthday is always around the Masters, and I wanted to watch the Masters, play some golf, and play around my birthday. So it was all I ever knew. Once I started getting serious with junior golf into high school and then into college, there was some opportunities to hit outside like Stricker does, where you have like a heat lamp above you or behind you or, you know, on every side of you. But, really, really young, it was just put them in the closet and, go play basketball, go play hockey. And then come back in the spring.
Everyone in Wisconsin's kind of having those thoughts right now. I know it's bitterly cold as we record this. It's the last week of February, but you're right. We are at that moment in the calendar where we're slowly starting to turn the page towards weather where we could golf even up there as well too. So I'm curious, the school you went to, Gustavus Adolphus, correct?
Gustavus. Yeah, exactly. A nice.
Tell me about that school. I know that name just as a historical figure. How did you get involved with that school? Did you find them? Did they find you? What was that process like?
I found them first, 'cause my dad actually went there for 2 years. He graduated high school in Minnesota. And he went there his first 2 years before going to University of Minnesota for pharmacy school. But that first put it on the name in my mind or whatever. But I was looking for a golf school. I was looking to play golf in college. And when I looked at University of Minnesota or University of Wisconsin being Division I programs, my resume wasn't quite there. It was pretty good. But when I talked to them, I kind of got the sense of like the walk-on spot they were going to quote unquote give to me was just one of those kind of ceremonial kind of things. Like, well, why don't you come try out, and if you shoot 65, maybe we'll invite you back next year. But it wasn't a true opportunity. So I quickly shifted to Division III where, I felt like I might be able to play. I'd be able to play right away, and I wouldn't have to like redshirt or sit around or really deal with any of that. And it turned out being, somehow one of the smartest decisions of my life. As a 17, 18 year old to kind of see through that with the Division I programs and realize the best thing for my golf game would be to just keep playing at whatever level, whatever kind of tournaments. And around Minnesota and Wisconsin, there are some great Division III programs. University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire is 45 minutes away from me. St. Thomas is right in the Twin Cities. There's St. John's is over there too. And then Gustavus is just kind of the first one that popped out because they were the perennial powerhouse, especially then, since my dad had gone there too, I kind of asked him about it too. And so just kind of had that like perfect connection of hearing about it.
Very sound logic for a 17 year old. You're right. Our train tracks kind of went in different directions because I had a nice high school golf career. And then I decided to go to a Division I school and see if I could walk on that field miserably. And that was the end of my career. So you went the D3 route and it worked out well for your golf progression. Now, was it lots of golf up there in terms of tournament wise, or did you guys mix in a lot of like getaway trips to Florida, California, places like that during the season?
It changed my 4 years. 'Cause I remember like my freshman year, We had a really good team. We had a great fall season, and usually the fall weather is good. It's just, you never know when like it's going to drop off the cliff and start snowing, which I remember that year, our conference tournament was like the third week in October, I think, or second week in October. And we got a little bit of snow flurries, but yeah, the fall was great. We were definitely ranked in the top five or maybe even the top three for the country. And then we came around for the spring and it was just awful. There was flooding all around southern Minnesota. We got all this snow in March. We went to our spring break and came back and had to put the clubs away again. And basically to get our like required four tournaments in the spring, we just played whatever school down the road, Mankato or something, or Bethany Lutheran or whatever. We just played like a duel, just a match against them. 9-hole match kind of thing to be like, okay, nice. we've played our four tournaments. Yeah. And then we went to nationals in May and had some rust, but we still finished fifth. But it was, it was just like, that those schedules were very, weather dependent. And then by my senior year, I remember in the spring, we went to, New York for a tournament. We went to, after our spring break, we played a tournament in Atlanta and then we had gone to California for nationals. So like all of a sudden we did start to travel much more, by my senior year, just to make sure we were, a little more ready.
Love that. Very cool. So glad you got that experience in college. And then from there, you became a professional, essentially. And then it was all about, you know, navigating professional golf, kind of just from the outset, before we get into some funnier parts and the interesting, you know, details of mini tour life. What did you know about like the professional golf landscape and like what tours and what avenues were out there for you to play professionally after school?
Well, I mean, I thought I knew a lot. And of course, I'd done research on tours. Way back then, there was the Hooters Tour. And yes. Obviously, there was Q School, which was still right into the PGA Tour. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know everything I need to know. But yeah, once you dive in, you quickly get bombarded with just like, oh, no, I know nothing. But yeah, so that first year I did do the Hooters Tour, which they had a Q School for that and everything. And that was a great tour, but just when I went to play it, when I would travel, when I drive from Wisconsin all the way down to North Carolina for 3 weeks or Georgia or wherever they were for a 3 week stretch. Yeah. I was just, I struggled and, you know, just wasn't quite ready to dive into that kind of a deep end. And my play showed it, you know, it was not really good that year. That would have been like 2006. So that's like my first year of playing. And then, you know, so, I mean, I guess I just rebounded kind of the next year and said, okay, listen, there are some smaller events here in the Midwest I can play. Let's try and get those, try and get my feet underneath me. Cause there is that familiarity, whether you're from the Northwest, you know, Southwest, wherever you're from, like, you know, playing in your region can kind of help you get some confidence. And that's kind of what I did the next year or two to kind of get more comfortable with playing professionally.
Nice. A little bit of a less of a fish out of water experience on your home turf.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I mean like the big fish in a little pond. I mean, it's kind of been like a recurring theme for my life. Cause my town, the River Falls, Wisconsin, you know, 10,000, 13,000 people. And then I go to a Division III school, which is obviously a pretty, you know, small pond when it comes to athletics. And then you go to, you know, professionally, and it's like, oh, now you're going to jump into Hooters Tour down in the Southeast. And it's like, okay, that might as well be the Pacific Ocean that I was jumping into then.
Seriously. Yeah. So, and for people who are just listening back on that, that's correct. Hooters, the restaurant chain, did have a professional golf tour. You're not hearing him misspeak that. Was that the weirdest tour name you've ever played on? What are some other really weird tour names you've played on?
Yeah, that's about the weirdest one. And listen, you can't forget that they had 10% off any Hooters restaurant you would go to.
Oh wow.
Which is just like, okay, like great. Now I can, you know, yeah, it was weird. And every, of course, you're in the Southeast. So every tournament, wherever we were, Statesville, North Carolina, or anywhere in Alabama, like there was a Hooters within 20 minutes, basically.
Nice. That answered my next question about the cheap on the road meal options. So you took care of some Hooters wings, I'm sure. Yeah. What about accommodations? Maybe the strangest accommodation you've had over the years. I'm sure you've had your fair share of cars and Airbnbs and hotels and whatnot. Is there any like one place when people ask you like, what's the strangest place you stayed in your days on tours? What would that be?
Well, I mean, I've stayed. I usually try and just say like, you know, for my somewhat safety and security and comfort, like let's at least just get a hotel. But there's been times where I'm driving, you know, whether it's from Arizona over out east or coming back or something like that, where it's like, listen, I just need 6 hours of sleep. So I'm going to pull into the Motel 6 here for, you know, $39. And when I go into those, especially if I have my car, I will try and bring, you know, a quilt that I have a little, or an older blanket or something like that with pillow. And so I go in and I don't sleep under the covers. I just put the blanket on top or the quilt on top. And it's like, yeah, I don't need to go under the covers, you know. And then you get 6 hours of sleep and get back on the road for another, you know, 1,000 miles of driving that day or something, whatever you got to do. And thankfully, you know, I haven't had any disastrous Airbnbs. I've been lucky with those.
That's good.
And same thing with like host housing too. I've tried that a lot. Playing Dakota's Tour events, which are in the Midwest. They do a good job of you're usually able to kind of hook up with some local families. And that's that's great. I mean, I just love those because a lot of those people become friends. And I'm thankful that I don't have like any horror stories of like, oh yeah, we you know, you got a place you can stay and it ends up being like a mobile home out in the middle of the forest or like a little tent thing, you know, because there's some Airbnbs like that where you're like, oh, okay, that looks cool. And then you realize it's just a pop-up tent with an air mattress.
Yeah, that's a little concerning when you pull up on that, especially after a long day on the road too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a bigger win of your career. And I'm going to ask you, maybe is it the biggest 2016 Colorado Open?
Yeah,
just that week specifically and everything surrounding. Where were you at in your career in that moment for that week? And talk about what that week did for you as well.
Yeah, it's the biggest win of my career financially and. Yeah. I mean, like, I guess even just like personally, you know, like what it meant and how good it felt. I mean, I've had other big tournaments, you know, getting through Q school, you know, felt great, but it was an actual win. So yeah, Colorado is the top of the mountain there when it comes to actually winning. But, you know, the previous winter or the previous year, 2015, I'd gone broke up in Canada. So the fall of 2015, I didn't go to Q school cause I couldn't afford it. And I just was down here in Arizona, valeting as much as I can, working at a steakhouse at night to make cash and try and save cash. And then once January or February came around, I started playing some mini tours around here. And the mini tour at the time, this was before Outlaw Tour. This is another funny name of a tour. This was Dream Chasers. So
Very fitting name.
Chasing your dream. And so many times I would call it Dream Catchers and just a slip of the tongue. And I'm like, yeah, Dream Catchers, no, Chasers Tour. And I would play a bunch of those. That was in the spring and I played pretty well, you know, made some money and started kind of like, filling up my bank account a little bit for the summer. And then when that week in July came around, I had to go qualify. And I actually got through the qualifier in a playoff. So, I remember thinking I wasn't going to get through. There were about two groups to come in, or maybe three groups. So like nine guys. And if two guys shot 68 or better, I was going to be knocked out.
It's dicey.
Yeah. It was very dicey. Cause I shot 69 and I just didn't make any putts and all those, whatever excuses, but I was like, dang it. I guess I'll be flying back to Minneapolis. And then there's a Dakotas Tour event. But it somehow worked out. So four of us for two spots in the playoff, one guy hits it out of bounds and then the other guy gets up and like yanks a 2-footer, 3-footer, you know, and the other guy and I are like, we're in, you know, it's just like, it kind of happened so weird when he missed that putt. And then that was on the Monday. And then 6 days later, you know, I'm winning the tournament for $100,000. And it was, I can't explain how special of a week that was. My godparents lived out there in Colorado. I stayed with them and, just how that all came together with the kind of, serendipitous, you know, qualifier into just the magical week of playing some of the best four rounds of golf, you know, back to back to back, that I've ever had.
That's a great segue to what we want to get into and what you're working on next as well too, which is the Monday qualifier aspect of professional golf. We've highlighted it a lot in the last year or two because it's definitely come into the forefront with mine and your mutual friend, Ryan French, who runs the Monday Qualifier Info account on Twitter. Talk to me about your earliest memories of Monday qualifiers. When did you first play in them and how have they kind of evolved over the years?
Yeah, the first one I ever played was 2004, back when I was still an amateur. I just graduated college, and so it was like July of 2004, and there was a nationwide tour event, which was what the Korn Ferry is now, but it was a nationwide tour then, and it was right down the road from my house. It was 15 minutes away, and so I was like, oh wait, there's an open qualifier. Okay, I'll try. I don't know. Sure, I'll go try.
Yeah, go for it.
And okay, it was one golf course for 14 spots. And it's like, now it's usually it's always two golf courses except for Utah. And there's only six spots at each course. So you talk about like how much that has changed. It's unbelievable. And like just the idiot youngster that I was, I got through. I shot 69. That's all I had to shoot was 69 to get through with 14 spots. And didn't really know, you know, like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. I can get through Monday qualifiers. This is no problem. But no, like it, you know, the next time I got through a Monday qualifier was 2017. So this,
like, that's 13 years.
It's 13 years. Now I didn't try a lot of them, you know, in like, 06 through 0 or even through like 10, 11, 12. I just didn't try many. Cause I was just doing, I loved playing tournaments. I still do love playing 3-day, 4-day tournaments. But it has changed so much now where guys will just play Monday qualifiers now, you know, and, not play the tournaments. And it's like, they're different animals, you know, like a 3-day tournament is simply put, 4-day tournament is like a marathon. You know, you keep going, but a Monday qualifier is a sprint. And so there's different ways guys run those things. There's different way that you have to play those golf tournaments. I've always loved those long 4-day, you know, kind of marathons where it's like, okay, you know, you got to battle your head for 4 days, you know, and sleep on a good round, a bad round. But with the Monday qualifiers, it's just all out. Let's go from the first tee shot.
It's tricky because you leave it all out there and it's a 1-day sprint, but it's that payoff at the end. It's like, ooh, that might be worth it for that sprint. So there's that candy at the end. Now tell me when you first found Ryan's Monday qualifier info account and how you got in touch with him.
Yeah. I mean, I somehow found him on Twitter, you know, like everyone did basically. And I loved what he was doing because, you know, I'd been in the Mondays. So in 17, after winning Colorado Open, I had that great jackpot of, you know, lottery win. So I went to a bunch of Monday qualifiers in 17. So when he kind of started tweeting these things out, into 17 or 18, kind of, I loved it. And when I reached out to him, it was a pre-qualifier, in the Vegas pre-qualifier for the Shriners tournament about 3 years ago now, 2 years ago. And a guy I played with in the pre-qualifier shot like 74, 75, didn't get through. And then he played the very next day and got through. And I DM'd Ryan. I'm like, Ryan, I don't think you can do this, right? Like, I didn't think you could play two pre-qualifiers. He's like, no, like you can't. Well, sure enough, the Southwest PGA section lets you do that. And it was both kind of just like, we were dumbfounded. Like, are you kidding me? Wow. We didn't know that. So it was another kind of just, you know, random, because Ryan gets a lot of DMs. He gets a lot of messages. He gets a lot of people, you know, saying, oh, you know, like this, I don't know. He gets all these comments from people. And it was just somehow like both of us kind of learned that together. And he's like, oh, you know, whatever. I guess, okay, Neil's looking up these things and it's kind of interesting. And a little while after that, I just sent him another message saying, do you need any help, man? Like, I love what you're doing. It's great for the game of golf. It's great for these grinders. If you need any help, let me know anything I can do. And it just happened to be like a crazy week for him where he was thinking about kind of shutting it down, cause it was just getting to be too much. And he's like, yes, I could really use some help. I don't know how, but let's stay in touch. And I need some help. And then later that year is when we kind of started our podcast together. And now I'm definitely helping him with all kinds of logistics. You know, so he doesn't get overrun.
The Chasing Status podcast, correct?
Yep. That's the podcast we do. Yep.
And then you're also doing some really cool graphic roundups, which is neat on your Twitter. Shout out your Twitter because you're doing a really nice like mini tour scoreboard, which is nice for someone like me. Just get those quick results from different tours. So where is that at for people who aren't following you yet?
Yep. So the one to find, that's basically, I have my personal one, but Monday Q Neil, which is Neil. So it's actually Neil_Monday. I don't know how they got switched around. You know, I just wanted Monday Q Neil. So that's the one, yeah, where I'm helping Ryan out. And yeah, every Tuesday, so later today, there's going to be a couple pictures up of all the mini tour events. You know, there's a couple pre-qualifiers this week. There was a Corn Ferry Monday yesterday. There's a couple Swing Thought events. There's a bunch of minor league golf events. And then 6 days from now on Monday, I'm going to put up the results of all those events. You know, just so you can kind of quickly look and be like, oh my gosh, look at what they shot. Like this week on the Outlaw Tour, they shot 25 under. On the Swing Thought Tour, they shot, what was that? Like 26 under or something, you know, in 3 days. And you're like, oh my gosh, what are these scores? And just kind of see what these guys make, you know, the top three, top four finishers.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. And you're helping me keep updated with our past guests as well, too, for our audience, too. Definitely follow along. Let's finish with a few quick hits here with Neil Johnson. State that you like driving through the most. What's maybe a state in the U.S. where it's surprisingly beautiful or a nice way to get on the road?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Because I mean, you asked the nicest ones, and I just think of the worst ones. North Carolina is pretty because when I would come down from like Wisconsin area, you know, like you drive through the Northwest, you get to Asheville and Asheville down to, Charlotte. It's a really, really pretty drive. So that one's tough to beat.
Like that.
Yeah. First off the top of my head, that's the first one I kind of thought of.
Shout out to North Carolina. And then I'm going to do a quick, would you rather, and you can talk through this with me. I'm curious what the value is for a golfer like yourself that's seen the landscape of professional golf. The would you rather is a Korn Ferry Tour starts or one PGA Tour start. So I'm going to say first, would you rather have five starts on the Korn Ferry Tour or one PGA Tour start?
Good question.
I think that's a fair number there. Five
is pretty even scale. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Cause I mean, if you're going to give me eight, yeah, give me eight. I five of them, like, If I got to pick my five, if I got to say, hey, I want to go to this one, this, you know, that might be something. So I could kind of pick the areas, the regions. But if you're just going to throw me five random ones, you know, like at the beginning of the year, okay, you know, go to Orlando, go to Savannah, go to Louisiana. Nah, I'd probably take the one PGA. I was able to Monday qualify for two PGA tournaments in the past, and so it was the Puerto Rico Open in 2017, yes. Nice. And then the Travelers in 2017, which was,
oh, I love Connecticut. I went to college in Connecticut and I've been to that tournament several times.
Yeah. It was so awesome. And so remember the year that Jordan Spieth, beat Berger in the playoff and yes. the bunker shot. Yeah. That was the year I was there. And that was just awesome. Like that was a great course. It played really tough that year. And I just, you know, I didn't play well the first day, especially, but if you give me one PGA Tour event, especially if I know, if you were to say, hey, you're going to play in the Travelers this summer in June, give me 3 months here, whatever it is, you know, to prepare for it like that, that would be invaluable. You know, the tricky thing about Monday qualifying is that you have 2 days, you know, 2.5 days to get prepared once you get through. And it's a roller coaster of emotions where you're like, oh, I got through. And then, oh man, I got to do all these other things. And then all of a sudden it's Thursday morning. And the people who handle all that, you know, are the ones who are able to play well during the week, you know, and I'm impressed by that.
Definitely. I'm going to keep that hypothetical around and ask that some more players to see what the answers are.
I'm curious. Very curious what other people say. Yeah.
Love it. And the last question we love to ask is our 19th hole question. Long day of practice or 18 on the course. You get into your favorite clubhouse, Neil. What's like your favorite meal and drink that you like to have at the end of a long day on the course?
Favorite drink is pretty much water, ice water. I mean, I'm lame. I'm not much of a drinker. Yeah, that's so lame. But the meal, there's a lot of things that tempt me because I got a sweet tooth. So, I mean, I would need ice cream or something for dessert. And then, you know, pizza always kind of sucks me in. It's probably pizza right there. And then just let me have some, some kind of milkshake or malt at the end. Cause that's,
I like that. I'm glad you mentioned dessert. There's not many people who mention dessert on that question.
And I mentioned it first. I mean, it's just like, cause like that, you know, that has to be in my, that'd have to be in my death row meal basically. Like, okay, now I need a good strawberry or chocolate milkshake. Yeah.
Love that. Neil Johnson, thanks for hopping on the Course of Life. Looking forward to following more of your coverage on Twitter, and best of luck with the tournaments that you play in upcoming as well.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you having me.
That interview with Neil Johnson is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds. Keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls, texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And right now for our listeners, you can save an extra 10% off your purchase with the promo code Course of Life. And that code gets you 10% off their Patriotic line, typically excluded from any deal. So head on over to desertfoxgolf.com. Use promo code Course of Life to get 10% off your phone caddy today. Again, that's promo code Course of Life for 10% off at desertfoxgolf.com. Go get your phone caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Neil Johnson. His story is just inspirational. We're getting quite a few journeymen to come on this podcast. Alex Him, Willie Mack. It's just great to hear these guys loving the game and continuing to go out there and grind and do what they can and just make it work. Just do what they love.
Yeah, it's nice, kind of like lesson learned, like for everyone out there too. Not only myself having the conversation, but our listeners getting to hear these conversations, and that it's not just all the glamour of the PGA Tour that we talk about at the top of each episode where they're playing for $1 million every week. You know, guys like Willie Mack and Neil, you know, putting up $500, you know, tournament expenses when they only have a few $100 in their bank account. It's like, you know, sleeping on the road at the cheapest Motel 6. So you can get 6 hours of sleep and then drive another 12 hours to your next tournament. These are the stories that we love to tell because it shows you that the game of golf is very diverse and there's a lot more beyond the top 1% that you see on TV. And I love the way Neil and Ryan Frencher are covering that. We're definitely endorsing them as great follows on Twitter to get a better look at the grind and the mini tour life.
Yes, indeed. And if you like that interview with Neil Johnson, plus all these other stories that we do for you, go ahead and leave us a rating and subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Let us know what you think of us, and we'd appreciate it. Let us know. Let's go ahead and talk a quick bit about football, Alex, because J.J. Watt let us know that he is all of us when asked about why he hasn't picked a new team to play with. Did you see this tweet from him?
Yeah, we normally wouldn't be talking football in late February, but I have to give him credit where I normally don't. Mm-hmm. J.J. Watt came with something witty on Twitter. I did see this tweet talking about picking food versus free agency, right?
Yeah, he said it takes him an hour to scroll through DoorDash before he picks a restaurant. So we got to give him a second or two to choose a new team and city to play in. I appreciate the honesty.
He got drafted by the Texans. He's been there for his entire career. So it's a big decision for him. I get it. You know, he's been toying around with, I think, the Bears, the Browns, a couple other teams as well, too. I'd love for Bill Belichick to get his hands on him as well, too. I know there's still some gas left in the tank for J.J. Watt. So, yes, I will give him another hour or two, since it does take him that long to pick a restaurant. And I do feel his pain on that front as well.
You know, and if it takes him an hour to pick a restaurant, you got to go somewhere with some good options or some places that are going to be great for you. Speaking from experience, both New York and Boston, great markets. I think New York might be better for you. So maybe you want to go to the Giants, JJ. I mean,
yeah, I don't think Cleveland is exactly a culinary hotspot. No offense.
No knock on Cleveland, though. No knock on Cleveland. We love Cleveland.
So we'll see which city he picks based on the culinary expertise. You know what I mean? Maybe Chicago's a favorite now, because I know there's some great stuff in Chicago, including our friend Chef Michael Ponzio as well, too. So there's a lot of options in Chicago. I don't know. Those are probably the three best food cities, I'd say. East Coast. What would you say? Boston, New York, Chicago? That's a fair topic.
I mean, I will say, living here in Savannah, Savannah's a pretty good food city. So, you know, I'm tooting my own horn here. Let's real quick, Alex, what starts this weekend? Give it to me. What is it?
It's finally completely meaningless spring training games with guys who aren't even going to make the roster. You're not even going to see them. They're going to be in minor league baseball for the entire season. Yeah. But the bottom line is they're doing it, and there's palm trees and it's nice out and baseball's back.
What have I said year after year after year about spring training, Alex?
I mean, traditionally, you don't care at all.
I care so much this year.
I love that. Yeah, it's just one of those like having it on your screen type of things. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the result of the game is. It's just like the idea you can have it on your screen. Baseball's back. You can start thinking about the roster. The hope springs eternal. The classic phrase that baseball fans love to use. So it's good to see it back on the screen this weekend.
It is, you know what else is coming back on the screen? March Madness. And we said it last week, we're going to have a bracket pool. What new info do you have, Alex, for everyone?
We're too early for Yahoo. Apparently, they're not as excited as we are. So hopefully I have that information by next week's episode. But we are going to have a Course of Life bracket pool. It's officially going to be $5 per bracket. If you want to just get in right now on the ground floor, just shoot me a Venmo because I'm running the pool. It's AlexL9187. Send me $5 and you are in the pool. It's going to be listeners, friends, family, anyone who wants to get involved. We're going to have a great time. And the nice news I heard about March Madness is they're going to safely get a nice, small, intimate group into each of these games, looking at crowds in like the 10 to 25% capacity range, which is perfect, Mike, because it's enough to give you that buzz and that energy that you love hearing in, with March Madness crowds, but doing it safely as well in Indianapolis. So I'm looking forward to having a little bit of normalcy, because as you remember, March Madness last year was kind of the beginning of the apocalypse for us all.
It was.
So I'm glad
it
to have
was.
It back this year.
Quick question, because I'm sure a lot of people think this. Have you decided payouts for March Madness? Are we doing winner take all? Are we doing graduated payouts, like third or fourth place might win their money back? What do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, we're
going
to graduate it based on how many people get involved. I would like to say at least top three are going to get paid out based on how many people we get in there. So let's get a nice, good crowd. Maybe it's even more than three to get paid out. But $5 a bracket, hit us up on Venmo. Send me or us a DM on Instagram if you want in as well. It's at COL Podcast. I'm at Course of Life Alex, and you're at MWRINC as well.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, brought to you by our friends at Restelli's, best assortment of responsibly sourced meats, individually packaged and shipped directly to you. Our promo code is GOLF10 for 10% off everything at Restelli's.com. And my hashtag always end with food is an interesting one, Mike. We had the winter storm that left many without power and water. It's been a terrible situation in Texas here. I was spared. I was very lucky to have power most of the time. We're on a boil water notice now. But food shortages, Mike, a real, real thing in grocery store life these days in Texas. So what do you think goes off the shelves first? What are like the first things to go that are completely empty in grocery stores?
I can tell you exactly what goes, because you and I grew up in New England, so we know what goes first. Milk, because for some reason you think you need something that needs to be in the refrigerator and have power in order to, you know,
yes.
You need that.
Milk,
bread.
Obviously. Yep, that's
bread.
Number two. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter, eggs is also high on that list as well. Too. Another eggs. Nice refrigerated item that won't last.
Yeah. And then because, you know, why not? It's COVID too. Paper towels and toilet paper.
That's right. Yeah. Paper towels are gone. I placed an advance order for like days, if not weeks in advance, I believe. And they just said whole milk, best available. Yeah, I don't even get to choose. Yeah. It's just whatever they decide I get. So that's the current state of food in Austin. What's everything like in Georgia there? Hopefully a little bit better.
Things have been much nicer here. I mean, we had some rain for, you know, the last couple of days. It's actually been clear. Otherwise, all this month, it's been raining. So it was nice to have that finally end for us. And I made pizza last week. I made homemade pizza.
Oh, yes.
By homemade pizza, I mean, I made the crust homemade. I didn't make anything else homemade, but it was quite good and quite easy. It was really easy. So
now let me ask you something. You're in a similar household. It's yourself and the significant other. Do you like to split the pizza up into like two, like do a half and half, or do you just throw the same toppings on the entire pizza at home?
Well, this particular recipe ended up making like two little 8-inch pizzas. So we had, and we did the same toppings on each, but typically if we're going to do something like that, we'll do separate pizzas.
I like that. You guys just get to live in your own world, huh?
I mean, we're very independent creatures here.
Great stuff. Awesome. And where did you get that crust from? I know you were doing some shout outs and where you got all these ingredients. Where'd you get things from?
Yeah, that was from Chef John from Food Wishes on YouTube. He also contributes to I'm blanking on the website he contributes to, but it's one of the ones out there.
Shout out to Chef John.
All recipes. That's the one it is. Really easy recipe. No need pizza dough. You mix it, you stick it in an off oven. You let it sit there for like 14, 15 hours and you take it out and shape it. So
love that. Another great gem from Mike there. That was hashtag always end with food. Another great episode of The Course of Life in the books. We've got another great guest coming up next week, and we hope you all have a good week.